This is the time set for argument in Moore versus State, case number 79817. Are counsel prepared to proceed?
Yes, we are.
Yes, before we get underway, I wanted to note on the record that Justice Perigary is not in any of your screens. He will participate in this case. He was unable to participate today, but he'll listen to the audio recording of the oral arguments. With that, counsel for the appellant may lead off and tell the clerk to begin with how many minutes you wish to reserve for rebuttal.
I would like to reserve 3 minutes for rebuttal.
Can you see the clock on your screen?
I can.
Okay, good. So you may begin. Thank you.
Good afternoon. May it please the court, the appellant, Maurice Moore, met a young woman online and through a two-day period engaged in very explicit sexual conversations. And at the close of the two-day period, there is an agreement wherein they met and ultimately engaged in vaginal, oral, and anal sex. On returning home, the claimant made an allegation of sexual assault. Due to the force of the subject trial, Mr. Moore was allowed to present a defense concerning the sexual assault allegations on a minor under 16. The defense presented with a mistake of fact defense as well as a defense of consent. And as a result of the jury instructions given, he was acquitted counts 1 through 5. However, such a request to present a mistake of fact defense and a defense of consent was denied as to counts 6 and 7. Those being lewdness with a minor under 16, and as a result of this denial, he was convicted. It's the appellate's decision that this instruction to the jury, this two different statutes, was both incongruent and fundamentally unfair. It's the appellant's position that lewdness with a minor under 16 is a specific intent crime in its entirety, and that a mistaken belief or a mistake of fact defense should be allowed. It's understood that there have been a number of amendments made to the sexual assault on a minor statute in 2015, thereby eliminating the defense of consent to those under 14, and reasonably so. But it's our position that the lewdness with a minor under 16 amendment, which also occurred in 2015, should allow the same defense as a sexual assault on a minor under 16 charge does. The state has attempted to parse out part of the statute in general intent crime as part of the statute specific intent crime, specifically concerning the touching on or upon the body, as well as the intent to arouse intent, gratification, lust, or desires. It is our position that the entire statute, the entire crime of lewdness with a minor under 16 is a specific intent crime, and therefore a mistake, one based on reason, a reasonable mistake, should be allowed as a defense to this charge, because otherwise it's just simply fair. The issue has been fully briefed by both parties, and it appears that the facts of this case are really undisputed, as is the applicable law or the lack thereof. However, it's our opinion or our position that Jenkins, Cattaneo, and Wagstaff do give some direction. Additionally, defense had proposed jury instructions to this effect, which were denied. So this is not a plain error analysis. The issue was discussed at length. And at one point in time, the trial court had stated that this is an appellate issue that you have, and you should address it with the appellate courts. There is no indication in our reading of both the statutes and the applicable case law that lewdness with a minor under 16 should be interpreted or evaluated or analyzed as a general intent crime, and that it should be treated, especially under the facts and circumstances in this case, in every way that a sexual assault on a minor under 16 charge should be both prosecuted and defended. Now, it was a prosecutorial
Mr. voice. Mr. Johnson, yes. Just briefly, I'm trying to find the right analogy, and maybe this isn't it. Why would we treat it differently than we treat, say, grand larceny? Like 205220, where it's the intent to take, you have the property amount, and then you have with the specific intent to deprive. We don't say, well, it's a mistake of fact. If you thought it was the property was only worth $40, but it's actually worth, $1,500. Why would we treat that age element differently in the context of your situation?
Well, and generally speaking, general intent crimes are clearly wrong. If there is an intent to commit the act, it logically follows that there is the appropriate intent. The lewdness statute, however, involves touching, and that touching could be open to a variety of different interpretations, and that goes to the specific intent of the actor. It's our position that since that specific intent has been delineated concerning the lewdness with a minor under 16 statute, that it's a specific intent crime throughout. And that, again, the age, the element of the age, it goes to the very essence of the charge. And for that reason, not only should there be a specific intent to act concerning the touching, but the age, there needs to be a knowledge of the age of the recipient of this touching.
But why is that different than a theft? You don't have to be right about how much the item is worth. You're kind of stuck with that proof. Why is that age different in this context?
Well, because again, too, we have a consent defense to sexual touching or sexual assault, for that matter, that does not exist with a theft charge. I mean, there isn't an affirmative defense or a mistake of defense charge for a theft, although one could argue that if one didn't know the property belonged to someone else and there was a mistaken belief that that property was in fact owned by the person or one of their agents, then that would in fact be a defense to a theft charge. But it's our position that a touching that would not be illegal perhaps on a 17-year-old is illegal if that person is 15. And for that reason, there should be a requirement that the person know the age and be entitled to a reasonable mistake of fact as to the age of that person.
Isn't that, Mr. Jaskiewicz, Justice Kadish here in Carson City, wouldn't that be an issue for the legislature? And I guess, is it your position that the statute says that?
It's, in reference to the 2015 amendments, there were no changes made to the intent requirement of the legislature.
Right.
I believe that the legislative notes are silent as to whether or not it was required that the person specifically know the age. My understanding, the 2015 amendments merely broadened the statute out to include 14 and 15-year-olds.
Right. So if 2015 doesn't help us, then, and we're just looking at the statutory language, because that's, I guess, all we have, are you saying the statutory language tells us that the defendant must know the age?
I would submit that a reading that on its face that it does. It's an element of the crime, and that a defendant should have a reasonable mistake defense to the charge, which I believe basically by analogy, since the legislature eliminated such a defense, which previously existed for a sexual assault charge on a minor under 14, that same elimination occurs in the lewdness charge. However, since we don't have that here with the age of the alleged victim in this case, that the element of knowledge remain. And that the defense as to a reasonable mistake as to the age and consent would remain. Under the facts of this case, the jury found that the alleged victim in this case consented to anal, vaginal, and oral sex. However, the touching that was attendant or incidental to that sex, the touching of the buttocks and the touching of the breasts, based upon the jury instruction, they could not find consent, which again, I would submit to the court was somewhat nonsense. So, and obviously too, this case presents a very unique set of circumstances where there's acquittal on the sexual assault charges, but a conviction on the lewdness counts, which I would submit goes directly to the jury instructions that were given, precluding the defense of consent and or reasonable mistake of fact for the lewdness counts.
The sex assault statute specifically requires a lack of consent. I mean, it's pretty clear that that's part of that statute. Whereas the lewdness statute doesn't include that, right?
That is correct.
Was there a charge of statutory sexual seduction here?
No, and Your Honor, I was going to make that next step concerning the prosecutorial discretion. They could have charged Mr. Moore under Jenkins, you know, and under statutory sexual seduction, and the defense would have been removed for public policy reasons, but they did not. They chose, you know, one's probationable, the other's not.
Right.
The lewdness of the minor under 16 charge is a non-probationable offense, and the state chose that offense. Additionally, by allowing the state to do so, it will put those who are facing similar charges in a quandary in that they cannot really present a defense, assuming it's a meritorious defense of consent, because they thereby convict themselves of a lewdness with a minor under 16 charge.
But Mr. Draskovich, this is Justice Silver in Las Vegas, didn't the victim testify at trial that this was not consensual?
She did.
And so it wouldn't fit. It wouldn't fit a statutory sexual seduction at that point, if that's what the state was presenting as far as evidence, and their discretion would have been correct as far as the charging process here, right?
It's that's based upon her testimony in the day of trial. Yes, she did testify that it was not consensual. Through the part of the investigation of the case, I would submit that her account varied from being consensual to non-consensual. But nonetheless, yes, obviously, if she's adamant to the state that she was sexually assaulted, obviously they couldn't charge a lesser related offense of statutory sexual seduction. Although, if memory serves, there was a discussion concerning this, and I believe the state, and Mr. Murbach would perhaps be better to speak to this, I believe the state opposed our request for that lesser related offense or that lesser related instruction being given. If I may reserve the rest of my time for rebuttal, if the Honorable Court has no other questions.
Very well. Mr. Murbach?
May it please the court, my name is Jake Murbach for the respondent. Lewdness with a child under 16 is a specific intent crime. However, that does not make a mistake of age defense applicable to that lewdness charge. Lewdness is a specific intent crime as it relates to the act that is done by the perpetrator, not as to the age of the child. And we know this is true simply from a plain language reading of the statute itself. The statute says, willfully and lewdly commits any lewd or lascivious act, and then it specifically uses the word intent. It says, with the intent of arousing, appealing to, or gratifying the lusts or passions or sexual desires. The statute clearly indicates what the specific intent is that's required for lewdness with a child under 16. There must be an intent to arouse lust, passions, or sexual desires. It is not required that the perpetrator intend that the child be under 16. And in fact, the Wagstaff case, which was relied on heavily by the appellant, supports this contention. If you look at what happened in Wagstaff, now it's an unpublished opinion, but if you look at what happened in that case, the trial court in that case gave a general intent instruction, despite the fact that lewdness with a child is a specific intent crime. However, this court found no plain error despite that general intent instruction, because this court indicated that the jury was also instructed that the defendant had to have the intent of arousing sexual desires. So think about that. This court indicated that despite a general intent instruction, when there was on a specific intent crime, there was no plain error because the jury was still properly instructed as to what the specific intent was. And that specific intent was the intent to arouse sexual desires. The Cattaneo case, which is also referenced by the appellant, indicates what the specific intent element is of lewdness with a child. In that case, the court indicates that physical touching by the perpetrator is not a requirement for lewdness with a child. And that's because lewdness with a child requires specific intent by the perpetrator to encourage or compel a lewd act in order to gratify sexual desire. So both of those cases cited by the appellant in their brief and relied upon largely indicate that the specific intent element required for lewdness with a child is the element of intending to gratify lust, passions, or sexual desires. In the appellant's brief, they rely in large part on the word willful, because it's pretty clear from a plain view reading of the statute that the word intent applies to arousing sexual desires. So the appellant relies on the word willful to indicate that specific intent is also required when talking about the age of the child, that the perpetrator had to intend that the child be under 16. However, there are multiple general intent crimes that use the word willful. Battery, for example, means any willful and unlawful use of force or violence upon the person of another. Child abuse is the person who willfully causes a child to suffer unjustifiable physical pain or mental suffering. These are general intent crimes that use the word willful. So the idea that willful in the lewdness statute makes all of the elements of lewdness specific intent elements is just not correct. The specific intent element in lewdness is the one that uses the word intent. It is the element of arousing the lust, passions, or sexual desires. In fact, if you think about appellant's theory, that the word willful makes the age requirements a specific intent element, that would mean that you would be able to allow a mistake of age defense on a child abuse case, because child abuse uses the word willful, and that would mean that all of the elements in child abuse are specific intent, which they're not. But if you follow that theory out to its end, that would mean a perpetrator could potentially use a mistake of age defense in a child abuse case, which they can't.
So, Mr. Murbach, this is Justice Kadish. Tell us, please, then, what is the meaning of willfully in this statute?
I think it's the same meaning that you would use in a general intent crime, and that's that the action by the person was done purposefully. Not that they, I mean, if you think about the standard law school example of a battery. If I swing my fist and hit someone, that's a battery. But if somebody else pushes my arm and that causes me to hit someone, then that's not willful. So even though battery is a general intent crime, you have to have that willful action element. And I think that is what willful is referring to in this statute, that you have to have a willful act by the perpetrator. The specific intent portion of it comes in afterward, the word intent, and that is that willful act is done with the specific intent to arouse lust, passions, or sexual desires. If we look at the legislative history, which the trial court clearly relied on, I think they properly relied on that legislative history in denying this mistake of age defense. Those 2015 legislative amendments added protections for 14 and 15-year-olds, protections that had not previously been in place, and in fact protections that are not provided by the statutory sexual seduction statute, which was argued in the appellant's brief. Statutory sexual seduction requires penetration. Lewdness clearly does not. So the protections that were provided by the 2015 amendment are not protections that were already covered by the statutory sexual seduction statute. These protections were added, and clearly with the intent by the legislature to protect that group of children that was not previously protected from lewd acts by perpetrators. Adding these changes was clearly the intent of the legislature, and allowing a defendant to make a mistake of age defense or to present a mistake of age defense to that type of a statute undermines the purpose of that type of statute. And in regards to the California public policy bar argument that was made in the appellant's brief, I think it's pretty clear when the trial court referenced that, the trial court wasn't referencing that California public policy bar argument in terms of it applied directly to our lewdness with a child under 16 statute. Instead, they were talking about the fact that legislatures often create statutes that specifically protect children. That's what legislatures do, and allowing a mistake of age defense when a legislature has done that undermines the intent of the legislature. I also wanted to add on to kind of the example that Justice Stiglitz gave about grand larceny. I think one of the cases cited by the appellant in their brief is the Sharma case, and Sharma is an attempt murder case. And they use that to talk about the specific intent elements and that requirement be pushed on to lewdness with a child under 16. But consider the elements of attempt murder. Attempt murder is a specific intent crime, just like grand larceny is, just like lewdness with a child is. But consider those elements. You have to have the performance of an act which tends to kill a human being with the intent to kill but failing to do so. So if you follow the appellant's logic all the way down, that would mean that the specific intent doesn't just apply to the intent to kill, that it applies to every single element of the crime of attempt murder, which would mean that the perpetrator would have to intend that their act failed to kill, because that's kind of an absurd result, but it is an element of attempt murder. And if you have a specific intent crime, and that means that every single element is specific intent, that's the result that you would end up with on a crime like attempt murder. I think the exact same example that Justice Stiglitz gave with grand larceny, and that's that just because a portion of grand larceny is specific intent doesn't mean the element, the value element is also specific intent. The specific intent element of lewdness is the intent to arouse sexual desires. There is no requirement that the perpetrator intend that the child be under 16. Consequently, a mistake of age defense is not an appropriate defense for the charge of lewdness with a child under 16. And the trial court did not err in not allowing the defense to the appellant to present that defense. In regards to the jury instruction, which is another issue brought up in the appellant's brief, because the state did not have to prove that the appellant had the specific intent or had specific intent regarding the victim's age, the appellant was not entitled to that type of an instruction. Consequently, the court did not abuse its discretion when it denied that instruction to the appellant during the course of the trial. In fact, the Carter versus State case specifically says instructions cannot be worded such that they are misleading or state the law inaccurately. So if we've established that the law clearly does not allow, or that the law does not allow for a mistake of age defense in lewdness with a child under 16, because while it is a specific intent crime, it's not specific intent as to the age of the child, the appellant was not entitled to that instruction because it would have been misleading in terms of what the law is. The appellant also addresses instruction 14, which is the principal lewdness with a child instruction that was offered by the court in this case. In the appellant's brief, they talk about that instruction changes the lewdness with a child under 16 statute from a specific intent statute to a general intent statute, but that's not at all what it does. In fact, that instruction 14, if you look at it, correctly identifies what the specific intent element is of lewdness with a child under 16. It says, third, the defendant, in doing the act intended to arouse, appeal to, or gratify his own lust, passions, or sexual desires, or AM's lust, passions, or sexual desires. So while instruction 14 did not make every single element of the crime of lewdness with a child under 16 specific intent, it did make the correct element of lewdness with a child under 16 specific intent, and that is the element that the perpetrator has to intend that his actions arouse the lust, passions, or sexual desires of himself or of the child. So instruction 14 was an appropriate instruction. It was the correct instruction. It was the instruction that the court gave, and by not giving a mistake of age defense instruction. On the lewdness count, the court was simply following what the law is and the plain language reading of the statute.
Mr. Murbach, can I just, I guess it's sort of a more general question, which is, doesn't it seem almost like absurd in a sense as we're interpreting these statutes that clearly the jury acquitted this man of the sex assault counts, apparently found consent, and that she was capable of consenting and did in fact consent. So he had sex with her in multiple different ways, gets acquitted of those, but he's going to prison for quite some time because he touched her breast. Doesn't that seem like a little bit of an absurd result?
Well, I understand what the court is saying, but if you look back to what happened in 2015, that's the result that the legislature created or intended, because they actually changed the sex assault under 14 statute. It used to be that there potentially could have been a consent argument under the sexual assault with a minor statute, but they changed that and made it so that that was no longer an option. But they continued to allow for that defense for the mistake of age or some type of mistake defense or consent defense to sex assault when the child was over 14 years of age or older. And at the same time, they created this special protection for children that are 14 or 15 on lewdness. So I understand what Your Honor is saying, but when you look at what the legislature did, they were clearly thinking about those issues because they created that type of protection on the sex assault under 14, but not on the sex assault over 14. So I see to an extent what the court is saying, but I think that it's pretty clear from the statute and what the legislature did in 2015 that was their intent.
Thank you.
The last thing I wanted to address was the argument by the defense that they were prohibited from arguing mistake of age. They weren't. They were allowed to argue that the appellant knew what the victim's age was. They weren't allowed to argue a mistake of age defense, which would have violated what the law says in the plain reading of the statute, but they were allowed to argue that the appellant did not know the victim's age. And with that, I'll yield my time to the court.
Thank you very much. Mr. Draskovich, you have 2 minutes and 49 seconds.
Thank you. The very essence of the lewdness with a minor or lewdness with a child or offense deals with arousing the passions or lust of a child or the perpetrator. That's an element. That's where the age, I would respectfully submit, comes in. We do have an absurd result in this case, and my interview with the jury confirmed this. We had a young lady, and obviously these facts are fairly unseemly, but we had a young lady who the jury found consented to basically every sex act that could be perpetrated or conducted, yet she didn't consent to having her breast touched during this or her buttocks touched. The legislature's intent is not clear as to these amendments in 2015 concerning this subject. I believe that there's very strong public policy concerns to eliminate a mistake of age or consent to those under 18, but there was not that specific intent demonstrated by the legislature concerning these amendments that they had made to the lewdness.
But Mr. Draskovich, it's also, I mean, this act is with the intent of arousing. Part of it is arousing to the passions or desire of the perpetrator.
Correct.
Which arguably could fit even if there was a consent defense in this case.
But then when we look at it in the very broad scheme of things, obviously in this case, we had sexual conduct occurring, you know, various forms of penetration, touching, and to parse them out and to arrive at this result, is our position is fundamentally unfair. And in reference to what I was allowed to argue or not argue to the jury, I was told that if I got basically to a consent defense in reference to this case, which is kind of part and parcel to the age, the jury would be instructed to disregard my argument. And obviously, I didn't want to cross that line in front of this jury. It's our position that a plain reading of the lewdness statute should allow consent and a reasonable mistake as to the age, at least down to the age of 13. I don't find anything that would discredit that argument in the legislative history of this charge, of this statute. And for that reason, we respectfully submit that the two counts, the two convictions, should be reversed. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, both counsel. This matter shall stand submitted and will be in recess until the next call.